listening to Zeroes on Heroes with Mike Mercadal and Will Watkins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Zeroes on Heroes. My name is Mike Mercadal. With me, as always, is...
Will Watkins.
Thanks. The Scatman himself, Will Watkins. Will and I appreciate everyone who's been coming out to Unsung Heroes. It's been a really fun time. And it's every week, Thursdays, at the Creek in the Cave. And we got a nice little crew of people, right?
Yeah, you got a solid group. And then a few people will trickle in.
I'm a fan of when we have, like, randos come in who don't know what's going on, and they walk in like they're lost. They're like, what's going on in here?
Just and like then people
we're screaming
from the bar
about Stephen King and shit.
Yeah.
We're like, Spider-Man! You know? We have a very special guest today. He's been on Unsung Heroes a bunch of times. Give it up for your friend and ours, David Piccolomini.
Yeah. It's always weird to say give it up. Like, I feel like that's such a thing from stand-up. Like, you're just so used to saying
I'm so used to saying it from Unsung Heroes.
Do you think that people who listen to this are clapping hysterically?
If they know what's good for them.
Please clap.
Right in the middle of an A-train. They're just like, give it up for David Piccolomini. And they're the only one like, yeah! Woo! David! Pickles! Meanie!
Or they're just like so used to it already that they've gone beyond clapping and they're just the audience people that whistle. They're just like...
Oh, I love
my hands are tired.
Oh man,
it's such a fun show to do.
Well, let's get some of your background. You're a comic here in New York City. Where are you originally from?
Delaware,
which is made fun of the best in Wayne's World, I think.
Wayne's World, actually, that's the
We're
most
in
common
Delaware.
One. It's the most common one, but my favorite one is actually from the Cleveland show.
Really?
Well, Cleveland and The Simpsons both have really good ones. The Cleveland show. Or the Simpsons one, I'll do the Simpsons one first, is they're on a train to Delaware, and they never get there.
Okay.
That's where they're going.
Right.
And it's literally like, I want to see a screen door factory. I want to see where Macy's sends all their return goods. Like, it's such a funny, weird, like, like, it's not, like...
But you're a comic here in the city now.
And the other one, the Cleveland show one, sorry, I just, is literally, it's... They make a joke about Delaware, and then they cut to a group of people at University of Delaware getting super excited that they said their name on the show.
Oh, that's funny. Like and a live-action shot?
No, it's
Or it's just the
student animated. Animated. And they're just like, oh, shit, they said Delaware. Yeah, fuck yeah. Let's get grottos.
There's not really a lot to write home about, I think.
No.
When did you come? But you're here, and you're a comedian here in New York City. You have your own awesome podcast called Tinder Tales, which
Tinder
I just
Tales
did.
About online dating, yeah.
And it's a...
Swapcast.
And you have a live version of it at QED.
I do a live version of it at QED. It's every third Friday, and it goes up at 7:30.
At 7:30 QED every third Friday. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun time, and it's a lots of...
We play games. It's not like the interview podcast, because I feel really weird not being a person.
That's a dumb live show where you feel weird.
I'm not Ron Bennington, and I'm not interviewing, like, legends of comedy about comedy.
Yeah, that's like us with our show, where it's just like, anybody, just come on up, we'll talk. And then you make it... The show is the idea of it.
Anyone can come up.
Interactivity, yeah.
I love doing that show because I'll come. I usually do a mic right before it, and then I rush over.
Yeah, you've closed it out a couple times where you show up, you know, and you come on at the end, which we do not recommend. We want our guests to be there the whole time. What do you do? No,
you guys are regulars
once or twice
now.
Also, you came and like we were done.
Yeah. I've done that where I was like, just missed it. Or you're like, we've gone for 2 hours.
Yeah, we got it. There's sometimes where like the show will start. There's not a lot of people in the room. And then as the show goes on, there's like fucking 30 people in there. We're like, we can't get everybody up. We got to go.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
But it's a fun time. And thank you for doing it. But your show is like
games.
Panel. And
So I invite three people, usually people who have done the podcast, but it can be like any comedians or whatever. And then we do games. Like we did this one. Tagline where I found a bunch of weird online dating sites and they had to come up with taglines for them.
Like Farmers Only and Christian Mingle.
Weirder ones.
Really?
Sea Captain date.
What? Sea Captain?
Yeah, seamen who are seamen with seamen.
No, these are real.
Yes.
Holy shit, that's
real. That's a real one.
That's fantastic.
You know, when being a gold digger on land isn't enough.
That's a great show. It's
Mouse
at QED.
Mingle.
What is it?
A Mouse Mingle, if you're a real big fan of Disney World.
Oh my god.
That was my favorite one I wrote, which was oh, what was it? Oh, it's a Mouse Mingle, where all the women are princesses and all the men are at least bisexual.
Oh no. Oh man, that's pretty good. But
so
yeah,
if you want to hear more of stuff like that.
Yeah. And multiple game. The guests are great. I know you have some of our friends on there, and it's been a good time.
Yeah, this one, Calvin Cato, John Field, and Ayanna Duki are on the next.
Oh, that's a good mix.
Jesus.
But yeah, and so you're a comic here now. You do stand up in the city.
Yeah, I've been here for 2 years. I was in Philly for three before that, doing stand up, and now, yeah.
Nice, man. And now you're here talking to us, and wait, I want to go back because we were talking about it. You were trained.
I'm a classically trained opera singer.
What?
Which, why, is that something that you could pursue now, or is you lose it?
It's not that you lose it.
You just don't want to do it.
It's that thing like where I got good enough that anyone who doesn't know opera thinks I'm great.
Oh, right.
And anyone
right.
who knows opera goes, you have so far to go.
Right.
It's like being a three-year comic.
Do you know Lizzie Maricelli?
No.
She does a lot of stuff with like Grant Lindahl and the Acid School Dropout people, but she's like classically trained opera singer as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Lizzie?
Yeah. But she's been smoking
Redhead
cigarettes.
Lizzie?
Yeah. That's what she went to fucking college for.
Get out. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's but cool. She smokes cigarettes and stuff now, so she's
I would love to do a show with just like all of the comics' hidden talents. Like, you're not allowed to do comedy, you just have to go up there and
do
shit.
They're not as much fun as
really?
You think. So what I end up doing a lot of times is I do my other hidden talent. Which is I have a really hard head. So I've smashed watermelons open with my head, like on like six shows.
Wow.
What? All right, man. You're not going to do that on our show. We just don't have the cleanup budget, I don't think. You can't Gallagher with your head.
You can. I've done
apparently
it.
You can. Yeah, yeah. But
I have a really hard head.
Oh, good God. It's just like one step away from Jackass, you know?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Well, the last one, so I always would do one watermelon, and the last time I tried to do it, they told me I had to fill 7 minutes. So I was like, I'll do five. And then I didn't.
What?
What I didn't think about is how heavy watermelons are to do it five times.
Do you like drop it on your head or something?
No, I hold it up, and I go, and I do it like right in the hard spot of your head right there, and I just, boom.
That's dumb. That's so ridiculous.
So I did that, and then after the first one, I was exhausted. So one of my best friends came on stage. He's a comic from Philly and Baltimore, Brandon T. Goren.
Okay.
He starts smashing
him on my head, one after another.
And I bet the audience is just literally like, all right, what are we watching now? What is this?
This is they were into
it. A couple more steps, and you could become like famous comedian Steve-O. Because that's who he is now.
Yeah, he just like staples his balls to things or whatever.
No, he doesn't. But, he's very big letdown.
It's a really big, it's a
he
kind
just,
of a bummer.
He just like balances a cup of water in his head.
Yeah.
That's literally
it's a real bummer, yeah.
That's the only stunt he does in comedy club stages.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so boring.
But enough of that bullshit. We know you. We love you. Thank you for all the stuff
yes,
you do. And your
you.
Shows are great. All that stuff. But let's jump into Hero News.
What was the...
Hero News.
We were doing this...
Skitty-bop
that hero news.
Hero news.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, see, it's a skill. It's
nice.
Good job, man. That was the best. I think that's one of the best ones we've had so far. Because we don't know opera and we think he's great.
Man, this guy's fucking Pavarotti over here. This guy's like Pavarotti or Emma Lagasse.
I have the broad strokes down really well, and then as you get into like all the like nuances of like actually doing all the roles and everything, and
there's
like,
I fully understand that it's way more complex than people think it is, you know.
Yeah,
but that was
but
great.
To the layman, it's fine.
You're fucking crushing it.
That was as we say in layman's terms, dope as fuck.
Dope as fuck.
You hear that?
What do you think about this classically trained opera singer? Dope. Yeah,
my good sir. I'd say he's. Pretty dank.
Yeah. Dank.
That's
dank opera.
That's a pretty dank opera he got.
That's pretty dank opera. Yo, Pagliacci is fucking... Yeah. What a sad story.
So, fuck it.
It's like, he's the clown, but he's crying, you know?
We could totally go... The three of us could off the rails this thing too easily. So what's the first
hero
thing you got
news.
Here?
Hero News, pretty excited about this one, is Rocky, Creed 2... is confirmed to have Ivan Drago in it.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
I
Is it Dolph Lundgren?
Dolph Lundgren will
is
be
Ryan
in
Is Ryan Coogler doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I don't trust it if they would have done Creed and then now they hand off Creed to somebody else and they – because Creed is so like in the pocket.
No, no. Coogler's doing it. And it's like I don't know if he's actually going to fight. I don't think –
No. I think he's going to be in the like the Rocky role of training the next guy that fights –
Yeah,
Adonis
it's
Creed.
It's just him beating up Michael.
Michael B. Jordan.
It's just Ivan Drago just beating the shit out of
he
him.
He still looks exactly like they do the computer shit that they did to Michael Douglas. So he's like been frozen, and it's like a weird sci-fi version of Creed 2.
So I'm not. Despite like living in the greater Philadelphia area.
Yeah, that is.
I'm not a huge
Rocky country
Rocky fan. Like,
oh no!
Oh really?
Did you like Creed though?
Creed, it's a good movie. It doesn't resonate like in my heart.
No, I understand. Like if you're not a fan of Rocky, like you can respect. Like Rocky 1 is a very different movie than Rocky 2 and 3 and 4.
Well, Rocky 1 is an amazing movie.
Rocky 1 is amazing as a movie, and
actually put Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 is actually one whole movie.
Yeah,
in my
that
opinion.
Makes sense.
And then everything after that is different.
Yeah, the Rocky 5 and the
Ooh,
Rocky Balboa.
There was no Rocky 5.
Yeah, Rocky 5 sucks, but Rocky Balboa is pretty good. I like Rocky.
Oh,
Balboa.
I love Rocky Balboa.
Good. That's the one where he's too old, right?
Where he's let's build some hurting bombs. You know, like that's how winning is done.
The thing that I like about it is that like Ivan Drago killed Apollo Creed, so this is like...
Oh, yes.
So that's what
it goes along with the original Creed movie and that he's trying to like win his father's honor or whatever it is.
Absolutely, he's avenging his father's death.
It's a vengeance story, if anything.
I was really afraid to ask it. I was like, I thought he was... Yeah, Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck. Oh, it makes sense. The movie's called Creed. But I also didn't want to ask that question because otherwise it could backfire and make me look very racist.
Yeah.
No, Rocky, Ivan Drago, he killed the guy from Cloud City. Is that him?
Yeah. Killed Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian, no. Billy Dee Williams.
But I'd be down for that. I think it's going to be good if they handle it the same way. I mean,
that would
be
hilarious if he killed Michael B. Jordan, though.
That would be.
Just at the end of the movie, it's just Ivan Drago still just.
Like after the fight, like if Michael B. Jordan's like walking out after she's like victorious, and Ivan Drago just punches him and he cracks his neck the same way. Oh man!
Then Rick James comes out like I thought he was dead. also, in 80s fighting news, there was going to be a Karate Kid TV show.
I saw that.
It's
Billy
going to
Zabka?
Star Ralph Macchio and that blonde guy,
Billy Zabka.
Yeah.
Wait, Ralph Macchio is going to be
Daniel LaRusso.
And
it's gonna be the same shit like Girl Meets World, where it's gonna be a continuation on the same timeline.
From what I hear, it's gonna be more comedic based, where they're gonna make it more of a comedy.
I read that too, and I'm all for it because the mystique that movie has is that people who like love it nostalgically, but it's not great. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not good.
Well, Mr. Miyagi was like an iconic character,
absolutely.
Because he hadn't been done like. In that way for white audiences.
Yeah, I mean, he was like the...
He's the old Master Sage that happens all the
time.
Exactly. And he was also from Happy Days. Right. Mercredo was in Happy Days. That's what people knew him from.
But it was also
Yeah, he was Arnold, whatever
his
name
was. Yeah, he was one of
the diner
guys. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like that. It was like when Bruce Willis started doing action. Everybody's like, oh, fuck, what's going on with this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, also because he was doing a character that was like a World War II... You know, hero in his country, and he's Japanese, and that was like during the big 80s Japanese influence era.
Oh, think about that.
Everybody was turning Japanese.
Yeah, and he was.
I really think so.
Yep. That song is about jerking off.
Yeah.
Which
is super racist.
It's totally racist.
They get it.
I just got it.
But yeah, I think the idea of taking it seriously. Without the Miyagi character, because he's dead. You know, like Pat Morita died.
I guess that's
spoiler alert.
He passed away in real life. But
I guess
that's
part of the thing is like it's gonna be like Daniel's like doing really well in his life, but he still can't get over losing Mr. Miyagi, and so that's why he gets back into karate.
As an adult,
he gets back.
I think
that
would be funny.
So, like, I feel like this is going to be like the comeback, like that Lisa Kudrow show.
Oh, and no, I never.
Which
saw
was
that.
Pretty good. I mean,
that's
that show is great.
But like, this feels like the real version of that.
So
well, it's
be
also
like,
because he has had very little career.
it's like capitalizing off of this. This feels like selling your soul.
It's absolutely a nostalgia seller. Yeah, it's a nostalgia purchase. It's a nostalgia product. You know, it's based on that.
But, like, he's just like, he's gonna be coming back. He's like, all right, get back into karate. Like, I'm old now.
Like, well, like Fuller
be like
House
opening a school. Like he's gonna open his own dojo.
Oh,
and
you
then
know,
his dojo is gonna face off against the
Billy Zabka's
dojo.
But also, it's like Fuller House. It's like Girl Meets World.
Fuller House apparently has great ratings.
Fuller House is not as bad. Like, I saw the first season. I saw a bunch of episodes.
It's pretty bad.
It's bad, but it's also like exactly what people don't remember things correctly. Like, Full House was garbage, but it was a sitcom of that time, and you watch it as a kid, and you're like, it's my favorite show.
Why does DJ's boyfriend sound like Aladdin?
Yeah. And it's literally, that show wasn't great, but you remember it fondly because you were a kid. That show now is fine. You know, like, it's what it's supposed to be. People were expecting too much from it. It's not, you know, it's not going to be.
They thought it was going to be. Yeah. It's a show that was based around a safe guy having cute babies.
It was a fucking sitcom. You know, it's not an 80s sitcom, not even like a 70s sitcom, like All in the Family or The Jeffersons and shit, where they are, you know, Good Times, where they were having social commentary.
Cheers.
It was like
Cheers
garbage.
Cheers is one of the best. Cheers is amazing.
Cheers is amazing.
Like, fourth or fifth episode, they deal with sexual assault, and you're like, what?
It's nuts.
It was happening then too.
But in all honesty, like, I would watch. I mean, it's going to Amazon, right? Because there's all these web things.
I think so. Yeah.
Or it's going to be on
YouTube
one of the
Red.
YouTube Red.
YouTube Red.
It's
going to go YouTube Red.
Nobody subscribes to that. Yeah.
We're supposed to have the last couple here, but I'm excited. Do you know if you've been following the Krypton TV show?
I saw a couple things of it, but I didn't read.
So they said it may actually end up being involved in the Berlanti universe in some context.
Oh.
Because they said that.
What's the Berlanti?
Like the TV shows.
Yeah. What'd you call it?
The Berlanti-verse.
Berlanti. Okay, I think
Greg
it's a Berlanti.
Guy who does it. But they said there's going to be a lot of time travel involved, to the point where I guess they introduced two characters going to be it. Nightwing and Flamebird, who were heroes on Krypton. And
Nightwing and Flamebird are heroes? Nightwing is a hero on Krypton?
Yeah.
I thought Nightwing was Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's before the
Dick
Nightwing.
Grayson.
Before Dick Grayson, they were comic books that had the adventures of Nightwing and Flamebird. And it's basically like an allegory for Superman and Batman, but on Krypton.
So I dig it. I totally want to see. My favorite part of Man of Steel was the Krypton, the beginning in Krypton.
Yeah.
Like, I dug it so hard, and I would love to see a good
story. So these two characters in the comic books, like, they're always played by different people. You know, Lois Lane was Flamebird at one point.
It's like one of those passing the mantle on.
Yeah. So they say it's going to be, more than likely, it's going to be Hawkwoman will be Nightwing, and Adam Strange will be Flamebird. So Adam Strange is, I think he's the father of Booster Gold, I think. I forgot who he's the father of, but he does time travel and shit. So that's where the time travel aspect might get into it.
Interesting. I'd like to. I can't wait. You know,
DC really kills it on TV shows. Like, they like, for as much as they fuck up movies.
Yeah.
Like, even
their
Wonder
TV
Woman
shows and cartoons are fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, the animated stuff is really good. But the TV shows, I will say this.
They're very formulaic.
They're following a pattern. Oh, yeah. And also, on The Flash, one thing that I've lately been realizing, he's not funny enough. Flash is not.
Well, he's also the Barry Allen version. He's not the Wally West version. I think Wally West should be funnier.
Absolutely.
Wally West is
inherently
a funnier name.
Yeah. But there needs to be.
Double W's.
Double Dub. That's you, buddy.
We're known for being the funniest.
Mike, you know, you really keep the show on the rails. And we all have our value.
Yep. this is not good. But in all honesty,
all
those shows.
Edited out.
Yeah. Keep it in.
It just
starts. We need to learn from our mistakes.
Now, hey everybody, welcome to Zeros on Heroes. No, but the idea that they're tying it into that universe, because they brought Supergirl in, it made it better.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Legends of Tomorrow, I think they canceled it.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I don't know, but
they actually just announced Gorilla Grodd is going to be the big villain in the next Legends of Tomorrow season.
Because I liked Legends of Tomorrow. I really did. I like them all, but
it's going to be Gorilla Grodd, and then he's assembling his own team of bad people. who, if you follow comic books, is called the Secret Society.
Oh.
And they haven't announced that's the name of his team is going to be, but it's going to have, like, Damian Dark's going to be in it and a couple other villains they haven't named yet.
I do think they're recycling their villains too much, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see
they said
Monster of the Week type situation sometimes rather than these long arcs that don't make sense, you know?
Well, I mean, they're still going to be time traveling and stuff to fix all the aberrations. Like, they already announced they're going to go fuck with Julius Caesar and stuff.
That's why I like Legends of Tomorrow, because it is very kind of compartmentalized where they land in a time, fix a problem, and move on.
They said they wanted to get rid of all the old villains that they've had before, but they brought back Damian Dark because he has such a connection to Sarah Lance.
Oh, and she's going to be... She's been the
White Canary.
White Canary, but they said something about Black Siren, which is the actress that played Black Canary and Arrow, is going to have to play...
Cassidy.
I don't forget her name.
Kate Cassidy or whatever her name is. Yeah, she's playing Black Siren, and apparently there's going to be a redemption story in the next season of Arrow.
I like that they tie it all in together. It's interesting to see where they go.
Literally the comic books. Like the comic books where all of a sudden you have like eight separate things, and then they do crossover episodes and then everything.
And the crossover episodes have been super fucking fun.
Yeah, they said they're going to have it's going to be a full four. It's going to be, because the way they're doing the shows now, it's going to be two episodes per night. Like, two of the shows are going to appear on Monday. Two are going to appear on... So it's going to be, like, basically a whole movie.
Yeah, CW doesn't have a lot much else, do they? Like,
yeah, they do.
What?
CW's got The 100, which is great.
They got Rain. They have...
Vampire Diaries, which just ended. But and, they had that one originals. Eight, nine seasons. Riverdale.
Riverdale's great.
Riverdale, I do watch. Yeah.
Riverdale is not good.
I love Riverdale. That was great.
I watch it. I got hooked on it.
I watched the whole thing.
Horny Archie? Good? You don't want to see Horny Archie?
No, I love... I'm super
excited for when Sabrina the Teenage Witch comes in.
Oh, yes.
And, like, they take it from just a weird murder plot to, like, aggressive magic fantasy world.
Yeah. Yes. I'm on board with that. I love how cheesy that show is. I love how melodramatic everything is. But the girl who plays Betty is... awesome. I'm in love with that girl.
Veronica.
I see, I'm a Betty guy.
Veronica's Brazilian but perfect.
But I will tell you, that's probably what I'm good
like
natured and you are from the evil. So
both are hot. Both are
stunning.
Actually,
dude.
Even the red hair, like, well, CW
is beautiful, it's a show. Even Archie is fucking super ripped and he looks dope, you know?
And
like
whatever hat dude.
Jughead
is
from Big
Sprouse.
Daddy. What's his name?
No, he's from that, but I was gonna say he's from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
All right. We gotta finish
every
up here.
Time,
on this
every time Jughead appeared on the screen, I was always like, I can wipe my own ass!
Yeah. Hey, it's Frankenstein.
CW's motto should just be like, giving hot people okay acting jobs.
I'm excited for the Krypton show. It'd be cool to see how they tie it all in. Because Superman exists in in the Berlantiverse because of Supergirl. So,
He shows up.
Yeah, he's there and he does a good job. The actor who plays him is good. I like the way they represent him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's hopeful. He's happy.
Because they couldn't ignore Superman the whole time, you know?
No. So that would be funny if they just cock teased Superman the whole time. They're like, the A-list superheroes actually go on the big screen.
Yeah. No, the big screen keeps fucking up
our
A-list.
One of my favorite things in the past season was when they had the crossover episode. And Ray Palmer like looks at Supergirl and goes, she looks like my cousin.
Oh,
because like he played Superman in the movie universe.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was just like, oh shit,
that's funny.
I gotta confess, I mostly know Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm more Marvel than DC. But...
make mine Marvel.
All right, let's wrap up Hero News.
Speaking of hot guys who have okay jobs. Okay, acting jobs.
We're going to get into it because you picked an interesting hero. You picked your friend and ours. No, Gerard Butler.
Yeah, Gerard Butler.
Which I...
Or as he likes to be called, Jerry.
Jerry, yeah, which is a weird thing.
P.S. I love you.
But we're going to start with the same question we ask everybody about. We'll start with the same question. What is the first thing you think of when you think of Gerard Butler?
Okay, so 300.
Yeah,
100%.
Because you're not talking about Leonidas. You're talking about Gerard Butler as your hero.
Yeah. So, like, Leonidas, like, it just ended up being, I mean, it's a little bit of both.
You put him on the map, you know, like, that movie
what we knew
put
him
on the map, yeah.
Phantom of the Opera?
No. Nobody gave a fuck about Gerard Butler from Phantom of the Opera.
Yes, they did.
Who?
I did.
What?
Really?
Fucking, it wasn't a lot of my good... theater friends did.
Oh, fine.
Hold on. No, I was a lot of theater friends myself. They hated it.
You know what's funny is what's the fucking composer who wrote it?
Oh. Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Yeah. He said he prefers Gerard Butler over anybody else he's ever seen because Gerard Butler sounded like a rock star. And like he
and
wanted,
because
everybody else
not like a classically trained singer,
right? Right.
Everybody else who plays it like an opera singer, and he's like, no, I wrote it like a rock opera. I wanted a rock singer,
which is always weird when you hear like, because did you ever see the Jekyll and
Hyde? You need someone who like sings for Poison or something. Like, yeah, you need someone who's going to be able to hit those notes.
It's a high song. He's a tenor, right? It's super high.
Yeah.
No, but it's
like the.
Yeah. It's high,
just keep
man.
Doing those. And in order to hit those notes, you have to be super, you have to like get into that opera voice.
Imagine, see, like that was one of the things about, like, one of my friends was
the lead singer of Journey.
Yeah,
Filipino guy.
He would be great.
You went Filipino guy. I went to actual Steve Perry, and you're like, no, the Filipino.
Well, Steve Perry's no longer.
No, but like, I get what you're saying. Like, it's super high, but the tone. Like, there was a show that Sebastian Bach did. Remember from Skid Row, and he did Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh yeah,
and Jekyll and Hyde. That you need like
that
a rock.
Garbage.
It's not great.
It's hot garbage.
But it's like a rock style of singing, and it said it destroyed his voice after a while, like doing it as many times as he did
Yeah, you need classically. You need to sing in a certain way.
You can't hurt you because singing like a rock style hurts your voice. You know, so like that's why you like
when you get into this rock voice. You're just graveling up and you're scratching your vocal.
Yeah, it's literally like just too much tension. You're fucking putting.
That's what happened to Julie Andrews.
Yeah, and then they fucked
too
up
much
her surgery.
Metal.
No, she started getting...
She was like, let the bodies hit the floor!
Spoonful of sugar!
That actually sounds pretty good.
I would heavy metal remake of Mary Poppins starring Michael Rooker.
Yeah. As,
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all!
That's a solid Michael Rooker.
Huh?
That's a solid Michael Rooker.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Add that to the bank. impressions
that nobody really wants to hear.
But it's hard to like think of him, of Gerard Butler, as that because Leonidas and 300 was such a sensation, you know?
Yeah, and so like, but it's the same way Leonidas, but I wouldn't say Leonidas is my, because it wasn't like.
Yeah.
No.
Because it's not like I saw, well, me and my friends were history nerds.
The Battle of Thermopylae is like a huge thing in your life, you know?
I mean, if you want to get, I guess if we want to really fuck.
We can, but.
Fuck with people, I would say Zack Snyder is, I guess, my. He's the one who directed it.
He did a good job in that movie of just putting the comic book on screen.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I don't know why they keep giving him these auteur things of where it has to be important for the story. Like, give that guy, make him the cinematographer, you know? Like, don't make him the director.
Make him the DP.
Make him the storyboard guy.
The
you know?
Double penetration?
Yeah. The director of photography.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He should be the DDPP.
That'd be great if somebody got hired as the DP and they just showed up with a bunch of lube, like, let's do this. Yeah.
He should be the DP.
Two dildos in their hand.
The director of double penetration photography. Double D, double P.
That actually is a job.
Yeah, in the Bang Bros Brazzers industry, there's a
we've talked about this before. Why 300 was so great is because it's like it's not like a historical. This is what happened in history, but it's like the dude doing the voiceover is telling his version of the story. That's why there's like monsters,
right?
And,
yeah.
Xerxes is like 10 feet tall, and
it's because it's a story.
There's no body fat.
Not only that, he's telling the story to rouse the troops.
Yeah.
It's propaganda. You know, that's what.
Oh, and it worked. It worked 100%.
It worked 300%.
Put it up on the tally board.
So watching that movie, it literally changed my life.
Yeah, well
so the LARPing thing.
Okay,
yeah, because why did that? Where did that come in? Because you, for those who don't know, you are a fan of LARPing.
Yes, live action role playing. I did it for 9 years.
Yeah,
and, I still do it a little bit, but it's just the New York LARPing scene is not great.
Well, also like. For LARPing, you need space, no? Don't you need a lot of room?
Yeah, but there are parks. There are public
parks.
No,
I get it. But it's also like you I don't know. I just feel like
to
there's
keep the gear.
It's hard. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like you.
Oh yeah. Well, I because
you have
I,
armor
I,
and
I have low guard. I have. Well, I don't actually wear armor. I'm more of a quick guy. I run around a lot.
Oh, what's your class?
No classes in my game. It's all full contact.
Oh really?
Like your skill level is based on how good you are.
Yeah.
Wait. So
it's
go back. Go back to how okay,
so,
300.
Because
we could talk
about. I found out about LARPing like a year before. I was like 15, 16, and someone told me about how they were doing it in college.
Right.
So they showed me the thing for it, and I was like, "This looks cool, but way too much work. There's no way we're gonna do this."
Absolutely.
You have to build all your weapons.
Committed. Yeah. You have to be committed.
It's a lot of effort to get into LARPing. It's less of a high monetary cost. It's way more of a high investment physically.
Absolutely.
And so I put it out of my head. I didn't think about it for a year. And then we went to the midnight premiere of 300.
Yeah. Because it literally was like the movie to see. Because at the time, they showed these dudes that were like super jacked. And
the
it was
trailer
like,
we got excited about.
Yeah. And then all of the way that Zack Snyder is now known for shooting things was new at the time.
Yeah.
And the slow motion fight scene. And
it's really
like,
slow, then it's really fast.
It speeds up and slows down. It's not just like The Matrix where it's just slow. It's both.
And it's like kicking the guy off the building.
Super stylized. Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah, everything's hyper colorized.
Yes.
And it had all these like great actors. You didn't know their names yet. Like Michael Fassbender was in it.
Oh, yeah.
The dude and oh god, what the
There's
hell?
So many great actors in it.
Yeah, like who plays his wife?
Lena
Headey. Yeah,
Lena Headey from
the
Cersei Lannister now. Yeah.
Oh, I love Cersei Lannister so much.
You Cersei Lannister or Lena?
She's
Headey?
Fucking great in Dread. I fucking love that movie.
Yes, Dread is fucking underrated,
man.
Fucking good, man.
But anyway, so we watched this movie. And we basically just get testosterone shots right to the dick.
Yeah. It's literally just adrenaline and testosterone flood your brain, and you're like, I need to make bad decisions.
Like we got out of that movie, and we were screaming in the parking lot. We were just so hyped. Me, my best friend, and my brother.
I went through that. I did that too, man. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'm not going to say I didn't do that, because we were totally
I saw it on DVD, so I guess
it
didn't.
Everybody started
like
doing this is Sparta,
open.
Everyone... All of my like muscle jock friends were Spartans now, and they were like, "What's your occupation?" They'd be like, "Ahoo!" All that fucking bullshit.
It was
super
crazy.
Macho, yeah.
Like it's just the amount of testosterone it pumps into your body, and so.
But even then, I remember the women in the fucking crowd when I saw with a girl I was seeing at the time making audible noises at every time. Like they're just literally like, "Oh," I was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, just getting just
so
just
turned
the
on. They're just so like loving the fucking six pack abs. Everybody was like, "Look at these motherfuckers!" You know, like
it's
they're kicking ass.
It's pure. It's
pure macho fantasy.
Ego. I don't know. It's whatever. It's one of those just in raw form
lizard brain things.
Yeah, it's pure lizard brain food.
So you wanted to start?
So we started hitting each other.
Let's start fighting each other.
So we were just there was no. It was 2 a.m. We're at my friend's house and we're just screaming. We're just like yeah, and we're like we called up my brother who's now he's now married to this woman. His now wife because they were like dating since he was like 15.
Sure.
We called her up and we're like, Jules. We need you to get like 1,000 Persians. Do you know any Persians? We need 1,000 Persians. Because there were three of us, so we just metriced it out. No.
At that point, you're just like shouting into the phone where people on the other end of the line have no idea.
It was all voicemail. It was all voicemail.
They're listening to the voicemail back like, Persians? Like cats?
Yeah.
You're like, what?
You want some rugs?
We calculated it out. There were three of us. We needed 1,000 Persians to make it fair like it wasn't 300.
Right. Law of decimals and whatever. 10 times, whatever.
Yeah. So we were just like, yeah, we need 1,000 Persians. And my friend had wooden weapons because we were still dorks back then.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. Go to Renaissance fairs. They have little wooden weapons.
I have only been to like one or two Renaissance fairs.
Love Renaissance fair. Dude, we should fucking go to Renaissance fair.
I want to.
I don't really
pay
like
for mine. I'm broke.
They're super expensive and I don't want to talk to a bunch of theater majors who haven't made it yet.
Well, I like the Renaissance fair that has. I won't go to the whole thing, but I'll go to the event of like the jousting or the knights who fight each other.
Fun,
I went
fighting.
To a live chess tournament or live chess battle. Where they have people playing chess, the king and the queen playing chess, and then they have like battles enacted out on the thing, And with like a fucking guy, a herald telling the story of what's happening. It was dope. I liked it. I like that
actually,
sort of shit.
Okay,
though.
I would watch that.
Yeah, it's fun.
But anyway, so then we're hitting each other with wood weapons, and that really hurts.
Yeah.
And then I go, wait, I know what we're gonna do. Because I remember hearing about this thing, and so I just like looked back through like old messages, found it.
And this is in Philly?
Delaware.
Delaware.
And we go, okay. So we look it up. We talk to his friend's dad, my friend's dad. He helps us make weapons. We make all these weapons. There's actually a very early Facebook video of me and my friend fighting, and he is walking around me with a spear we made. And I have a very tiny short sword because swords were harder to make than spears.
Right.
And he's circling around me, and I'm stuck on one leg.
Because it had been struck,
yeah,
and you get chopped off. Yeah.
And he goes and stabs right in the dick. And I just fall over. Like, it's like one of those perfect, like, boom, bop,
yeah,
bop.
like if it was animated in a computer, that's exactly what it would look like.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But, like, so it's weird that, like, well, it's not weird because this guy, because let's keep it focused on your hero for a second.
Okay,
Gerard Butler.
Jerry
Butler.
B.
He was just this
actor
guy, you know, and he gets this giant role where he has to be like this super macho, physically perfect, even though like they colorized and makeup and edited them to have abs and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, they had abs, but yeah,
they did, but then they
hyper.
Did. Exactly.
With
they
contouring
they,
and
all
whatnot.
All of the. The lighting and the shading and stuff they did was meant for that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Turn the contrast way up to 100, you know, on the video.
But, make everybody orange.
Then the guy does, like, a bunch of random, like...
Rom-coms.
Rom-coms.
Ooh.
Which,
yeah.
I don't know where I land on Gerard Butler in terms of... Because
he,
it's weird that...
funny, but yeah, he does all these rom-coms, and it's super...
Yeah,
falls off the map completely.
And there are times where he's, like, he talks about, like, that he knows he's making movies that are, like, dumb.
He
feels like he's in on the joke. Like he's like, yeah, I'm making these fucking.
I'm sure they're paying him millions of fucking dollars.
Now, well, once you get like a movie like 300, all of a sudden your rate goes way up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So all of a sudden his rate goes up. He does movies like P.S. I Love You and the one with Katherine Heigl or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, where it's like
they're assassins or something.
No, the assassin one is Tom Cruise. The one he did was he did the one where it's like he's like a relationship coach or something.
And oh,
like,
yes.
And it's, like, about, like, how, like, men only want sex. And then he, like, yeah, and then he goes back.
Right, yeah. And
what's the one with the, where he's the bounty hunter or some shit?
I think that's the Katherine Heigl.
Ah, okay.
No, the Katherine Heigl's, it's called The Ugly Truth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yes.
And it's, like, men only want sex, but we're going to fall in love. Don't worry.
Yeah, because it's, like, fun, like...
But at the
he did do one. It was like the bounty.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah,
I was, yeah, yeah. The one I'm looking at is Law Abiding Citizen. Do you remember
that
one?
Fox? That was good.
One. That was a great one. I like that one.
So good, underrated, and he was a great bad guy in it. He's a bad guy.
Anti-hero.
He's like the anti-hero. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like
he's is he the protagonist?
He's the protagonist because they're it's a good. That's the whole point.
Or is Jamie Foxx a protagonist?
Yeah, like it's like this balancing act, you know. And
it's like Glengarry Glen Ross, but with torture.
You know what? I would watch it.
It's called Law Abiding Citizen. But
these are your breast balls.
But it's like you look through his, you know, Phantom of the Opera. There's one called
Waterboarded. Not be waterboarded. It's for closers.
Airs for closers.
Thanks for the cleanup.
Yeah, there you go.
He's in one of my favorite dumb cape like movies when it comes on cable that you have to watch. Reign of Fire.
Oh, that's good.
He's in Reign of Fire, and that was before.
He also played Attila, which was a miniseries, and that was fucking great.
Yeah, I'm just looking through. There's a lot of stuff.
My favorite one he did is they're gonna make it into a trilogy now. Is the Olympus Has Fallen trilogy?
Yeah,
London Has Fallen is so bad.
It's I fucking love Olympus Has Fallen.
Olympus or London?
Or Olympus? Olympus was fun.
Olympus was great. London was pretty bad.
Yeah.
What was the two? Because there were two. There was White House Down that came out at the same time.
Yeah.
And then there was Olympus Has Fallen. The one with Jamie Foxx was White House Down.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum.
Olympus Has Fallen was like Die Hard in a White House.
Yes.
And I always, to this day, I'm like, man, if they had made that instead of like the rest of the Die Hard movies, if like Bruce Willis taking that role, that would have been fucking on point.
Channing Tatum, he's like, it's so funny because he's still playing the dumb guy in it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's not smart enough to do anything.
Yeah.
But I'll show you I'm capable.
It's like in White House Down, he didn't pass the test to be a Secret Service agent. Then he's the greatest Secret Service agent.
It's one of those where, like, it's in him to do it. You know, like, it's in his – it's like, no, it's not. That's not how people react to things. You know, like,
It's just like, nope. Turns out they have tests to find out
who
can do it.
We determined that he was not this guy. You know, you can't just suddenly be this guy. And then he's got like his whatever. But that's the Channing Tatum version. The London Has Fallen, I don't think it has the same gravitas or the same weight to it because it's fucking the city.
City.
It's the whole goddamn city. Who can, you know, like, how can you possibly be the savior of an entire, like, fucking city without it being
crazy. Movies do
that
all the time.
Like, it's too big. Like, what's the next one? You know, like, Australia has fallen.
They are making
Earth has fallen.
Earth has fallen. It's the alien invasion story, which I think would then be better.
Yeah, I would love to watch that. That's like Fast and Furious level of batshit.
Yes.
Fast and Furious movies are some of my favorite movies.
They're not bad.
Well, I enjoy them.
5 through 7 is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I was going to say, like, if you watch the first one for what it did for, like, ooh, it's these street guys and they're racing and they want to work on their cars.
Point Break with cars.
And now they're, like, super spies with tanks and submarines and all kinds of crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking fascinating.
Actually, 8 made me dislike it a little bit more just because of how much they wink and nod to how crazy it is.
Yeah, like the Tyrese character. Tyrese
is one of my favorite things to do, though, is in, like, I went to see number 7 in Times Square.
Oh, nice.
Great place to see a Fast and Furious movie because you want the reactions.
And
so during all these, like, crazy scenes, I would be laughing during all the crazy set pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's hilarious, like, when it's like, oh, they just drove 2 cars into each other for no reason. They played a game of chicken, and both of them couldn't lose in their contract, so they hit each other.
Like the scene in 8 where there's, like, got the chains sticking out, and they all shoot the chains into the car, into
Vin Diesel's car.
And then it's literally, like, he just hits reverse and then 2 cars fly towards each other. And I'm like, the laws of physics have ceased to exist in this little corner.
But that was, so the thing about it is, like, so in that movie, although in 7, I loved in a packed room watching Tyrese kill with garbage. He's crushing in a packed theater full of dumb people. He is demolishing.
Everybody's like,
they're laughing.
It's
so
great.
Hard.
They're comedies to me.
They are.
But they can't be comedies if they try to be comedies.
And that's what happened with the 8th movie. Is like Jason Statham is literally like, I'm gonna put music on for this baby to I kill a bunch of people.
Yes, it's bonkers.
And the baby's just laughing along with it. I'm like, no, you've destroyed the reality that you've created.
On an airplane in the middle of somewhere. Like, where is it?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, how do you get on the...
Stop winking. No, it's fine. Get on the airplane. Totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Stop winking that we know you're doing a cute thing with a baby.
Right. Yeah. And also, like, didn't he murder tons of people in the other one?
Yeah, he did.
So suddenly we're like, he's fine.
That's
now.
Actually one of the biggest things. Actually, I'm changing my answer again. Fast and Furious movies are my heroes. But the credit of Fast and Furious movies, they do a lot of things better than Marvel.
Really?
If
that's
you think
a bold
about,
statement.
I want to write a cracked article about it, but I got to get 2 more examples. But I have 2.
That is the modern writer's dilemma. This listicle needs 2 more things.
One of them, the action set pieces are better. Marvel does,
more fantastic. Yeah, just
Marvel does great action.
Yeah,
sure. But a lot of times, it's a lot like. You get rare ones where it's amazing, like the Civil War fight of all the superheroes.
On the airport,
that's fucking great.
It's one of the best things. But shot for shot of Fast and Furious movies, the way they incorporate everything in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a thing where they have to throw around a grenade, and he's shooting it with a minigun he picked up off of a broken-down vehicle.
Yeah, no, it's
they use a safe to knock cars off the road. Like, the innovative...
It's like
action set pieces are better than
the same way the same way that like the Russo brothers have their action figures and they're just fucking around with all their action figures. The Fast and the Furious guys are fucking up with Hot Wheels. Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, and the other one, and this I think is a bigger point, is that Fast and Furious movies make better villains
because they're so cartoonish.
They're not even that cartoon. They're just more charismatic villains.
But you know what I don't like is like the villain is going to be their ally in the next movie.
Yes. That's how good their villains are, is they could face switch them. Yeah. They could switch them to faces.
That is the thing about Marvel movies. They have terrible fucking villains.
Yeah.
It is a problem. Well, let's go to another place, because I want to say
going
something.
Going back, Olympus Has Fallen movie is going to be called Angel Has Fallen.
Angel?
Yeah, Heaven's Attacked.
Terrorists are now targeting Mike Bannon on Air Force One.
Oh, so it's Air Force One.
It's Con Air.
Why don't you just watch Air Force One again?
Get off my plane. But I say it like Sparta.
Yeah.
Get off my plane.
And he kicks him out the back.
Yeah.
Also Gary Oldman.
I'd watch that for sure. I will watch anything Gary Oldman is in.
Yeah, he's great.
But going back to 300, though, because it did change the way they shot a lot of these things. You know how they shot it all like – all these movies now owe a bit of an homage to the way that Zack Snyder shot 300, because he shot the actors with all background stuff like that, with the motion tracking cameras, the speed cameras, you know, where he literally every shot's in slow motion that you could literally fuck with it the whole time.
Yeah, so he captured everything at a really slow rate so he can move it up to normal speed.
So like all of the Fast and the Furious movies is like an extrapolation of that when you really think about it, and like where they put these people in the car and now they can show everything around him and plug in, mix and match.
Yeah.
And if you see some of the stuff from like Infinity War, some of the stuff that they've shown from Infinity War, it's the same concept where like the technology's kind of caught up where they can just do that with everything.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first ones to really take advantage of that was 300. So maybe Zack Snyder's your hero.
Yeah. Zack Snyder is an innovative director who he's M. Night Shyamalan-ing.
Ooh. That's a good point.
Shyamalan-ing.
Like basically what happened is he got super successful off of one thing he did, and then they went, here, take all our money.
And then it's like when a comic gets a spot, like early on, like when they, hey, you want, we're going to give you this.
Like if you like get a last comic standing.
Zack Snyder is the debt fan of directors.
Oh, no. or more like Rob Delaney.
Ooh.
Rob Delaney, because he went out there, he had his Twitter, everyone's loved him as a writer, and then they're like, we're going to put you on television, and he goes on Jimmy Kimmel and eats a big fat dick.
Oh my God, it's so
to
bad.
The point where it's ruined his life, I would imagine.
No, have you?
No.
He's on a TV show.
He's got that show called Catastrophe that is very popular.
It's popular?
No, but it's well-received.
Well-received.
Critically
received.
Well, the critics love it? I don't know.
Also, the thing is, Rob Delaney's career is fine. He still tours theaters.
Fair enough, yeah. But like, I mean, like in that moment, the guy's gotta suck.
Well,
you know?
To be fair, Zack Snyder is like doing. He's still doing like Justice League and Suicide Squad and all that stuff. So it's not quite, but it's like they gave him a lot of money, and because his thing is still marketable, even if it's not good,
right?
He's falling traps into that. He's got his one style, and he's kind of pitfallen into that.
Yeah, and the thing is that like, what was the God, what was the one that that he did with the girls?
Hard Candy.
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Hard Candy's about a pedophile. Never mind.
Hard Candy is about the revenge that Ellen Page gets on that pedophile guy. That movie's great. I think we brought it up a couple times on this show, but like not on this episode, but like in the past, a few past
this
episodes.
It's the story of a girl who gets revenge on a pedophile. While she looks so sad in photographs.
Oh my God!
She smiles when she chops off his dick.
That movie's bonkers. It's really good. It's hard to watch.
I'm so sorry.
But it's first of all, I haven't thought about that song since it came out.
Can you do one with Stacey's mom?
Ellen Page is gonna kill this pedophile.
Oh man! But so. Go back to, so you guys
waited for so long. What was his name?
Gerard Butler.
No, okay.
I'm just trying to.
You're trying to get us way back on track. We should, yeah.
Well, because it's hard because Gerard Butler is like, it's this weird. Gerard Butler in 300 had this impact on you. And it's kind of like everybody else, you really kind of root for him, even though not everything he does is great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But he's swinging, so man. He just seems like a.
He's great in How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, he's got that really kind of charismatic
he was really
voice.
Good at playing Scottish.
he's got that like good voice, you know.
He
plays his characters.
He seems a little silly. Like
that's my point. He seems like he's such a serious character in 300 and in like the movies you know him for. And then he does these rom coms where like it feels like that's who he is. Like he just wants to fuck around all the time, and then. I like you see him when he reads like mean tweets and stuff like that, and like the, on the Jimmy Kimmel thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's funny. Like I think
you think his kind of career resurgence is going to be in comedies.
I think his career is fine because he does not. I don't think he's valuing his success on whether or not something is perceived well or commercially successful. It's if he's having a good time. He seems like if I would to achieve a level of notoriety, I would hope I do it with like a good nature, you know, like joking around, like it being funny, because it's crazy what fame is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy like what he's.
Well, I feel like he's gone to like B-list acting now and he's just chill there.
Like he's just fine with just fucking around. And I think that's what makes him interesting to me.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of like an aspirational figure. Like, yeah, he's like, oh, you want to do a romantic comedy? He's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it looks fun.
And then he jokes around about it, if it's good or bad. He's like, hey, we had a great time, and this person's fun, and I like the director, and it's a fun movie. And he's like, okay. And then he goes off and he does, like, The Gamer or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I never saw that.
It's like this kind of cheesy thing.
It was all right.
But it wasn't bad, but it was just kind of like it fine. And then he's like, yeah, I did that, and it worked out, and it was fine.
Maybe he's just a working actor.
Yeah, he's just a working actor.
I feel like he's taking a lot of roles that would have gone to Liam Neeson if Liam Neeson was younger.
Absolutely, I think so. But I also think that he could be I would like to see him in a comedy. I would like to see him goofing around. And
Liam Neeson's so funny.
Liam Neeson is hilarious in a million ways.
Life's Too Short?
Life's Too Short.
Oh, that was great.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very serious. He's like, I want to do improv.
Yeah. He's like, oh, well, you're at a doctor. I have AIDS. It's like, whoa, shit.
Jesus. Oh, that's heavy. Okay.
Okay. All right. But he's also, have you seen A Million Ways to Die in the West?
No.
It's good. I love that movie.
Really?
I love it. I think it's fun and goofy. And it's like, you know, like Seth MacFarlane is not a bad actor in it. And he plays the role well. And I think it's fine.
I feel like
the outside stuff where people think he's kind of a shitty person.
What?
Filters into that.
Just bored by him.
Well, Charlize Theron is funny. Liam Neeson is the villain, and he's fucking funny. You know, it's a good show.
That movie was it was fine.
It was good. I like it a lot.
It wasn't. I wasn't
guys,
laughing out
a
loud.
Really passive aggressive battle about nothing that matters.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's go back. I want to talk to you. So you're inspired by this. You start LARPing.
Yeah.
How does someone start LARPing?
You make weapons.
He literally told you the whole story earlier.
No, but I mean like...
make weapons.
But like, how do you do it? You did it for 9 years.
So what happened is we found a group... The closest group nearby was a group in Philly.
Right.
So we found out when they practiced. And we went up to fight with them. They looked at all our weapons. They failed all of them. Gave us some loner ones.
You mean they were like, these are not good enough
We safety check all weapons.
Oh, so you can't just literally... Put
no,
a block of wood
would
and
break them.
People
get killed and injured because someone would put a sword in a weapon, not knowing you can do that. You know what I mean? Like that's like an old story. Like someone put foam around a sword,
thinking it was fine.
Yeah,
like a metal sword and just swung it around and someone got like hurt for real.
No, what happened was that someone went. They picked it up. They were like, "Let me test this on a shield," and they swing it. Sword cuts right through the foam. Cuts into the shield.
Shit.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my god, if that would have hit somebody in the arm or something?
Yeah, you could have
literally chopped someone in the arm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe not off, but still, goddamn.
Yeah, it was insanity.
What is a good, so we gotta wrap this up, but like, what is a good...
Wow. Blood fast.
No, I mean, we're at an hour almost. What is a good, like, arc for like LARPing? Like, what is it like the day like? How does it progress? Is there story mode?
No.
Most people will know it from role models.
Yeah. So role models, give you an idea how deep in I was. I watch role models and go, they're doing this wrong.
Oh no.
Their technique is terrible.
Was it like when comedians watch Punchline?
Yeah. I was real mad that the LARPers had locker rooms.
Yeah.
What is it like? So did you have a character?
Yeah, I had a character. My name was Morgrim DeCrazed. I earned my last name by doing really crazy things.
Was it like Jackass? I'm imagining literally just like everybody running around doing like.
No, it's not. It wasn't.
There was. How many people would you say go out to like a field in the day?
Okay.
Like one of the tournaments or whatever.
Okay. So a day battle, which is like, we'll have anywhere between 25 to 100 people usually.
That's a lot of people.
In Artari, which is Maryland, they have a bigger realm. Those day battles will get up to around 200.
Jeez. That's a bunch of people. That's got to look dope as fuck, though.
It's so much fun. And then big weekend events. Can get anywhere from like a lot of those like campouts are like anywhere from 2 to like 800. And then the big week-long event is like 15 to 1800.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's a whole culture.
And then so you're part in it as you're part of this army?
I'm part of so there are realms, which is location-based, and there are units, which are groups of people that choose to fight together. So I joined a unit of orcs and goblins.
Nice.
Because, you know, why be a hero?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's be some villain. I'm telling you, man, I want to be heel. I want to.
Oh, man, you would have fun being orcs with us.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
You just run into people. It's great. And then the guy who was leading it quit, put someone else in charge. But I was second in command, and I didn't get put in charge. So I literally staged
the
coup.
Oh, shit, for real?
Yeah, and I was like, you can still be part of the unit, but I'm going to take over. And he was like, what? And I was like, we had other leaders all over the country.
A legit uprising. This
is
great.
I literally staged a coup and won.
That's fucking fun.
Nice.
And I took over the unit and led it for 4 years. And we went from 30 people to around 120.
And you would tell the story about that catfish girl.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We'll end on that because that's a fucking, it's okay. So funny.
So while I'm leading the unit, We would get hit up all the time because we were a pretty big unit. We were like a well-known
unit. Boom, dick joke.
Yeah, big units of big units. That's our butt sex. but anyway,
well,
so
it's a DPP, right?
Yeah, DPPPP.
Yeah,
you down with PPD?
yeah, you know me.
Anyway, so one time this girl hits me up. I've met her. She's friends with someone else. Who's obviously attracted to her.
It was a friend. It was
by association name because her DAG name was MK.
MK?
Yeah.
Okay. That was her character name?
Yeah. And she's not super. She just wanted people to.
Was she
pay
from like
South?
Okay.
No.
It was like MK Ultra.
Yeah. She was a government spy.
about the acid.
Yeah. So anyway, so her name was MK and. This other guy was talking about our unit, and she was like, oh, cool. And he was like, oh, she wants to join. Great. So I started talking to her, and she's like, well, yeah, I run my own unit, so I would like to, like, kind of
incorporate the two or something.
She was like, I would kind of like our units to join together. And I'm like, well, our unit's bigger. If you want to join our unit, you can do that. You can have your group join. We called them clans.
Sure.
Like, we were orcs. You had different clans all over the country. So I was like, you can start your own clan here, and you'll still be the leader of that, but you'll be under the Confederacy that is my group. I really should stop saying Confederacy and clan together.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, I was going to say there's
a big fan of the new HBO show. Huh?
Well, it's also sounds
that's
like
what Confederacy is, by the way. It's a group of individual groups that work together under a larger.
No, yeah, I totally understand what in context, but like it feels like there's a lot more organization than I thought there was.
Oh,
like
huge amounts of organization.
Like a national organization of LARPers. Like,
yeah,
it's structured.
Yeah.
And then, so she wants.
They're a bunch of nerds. They love spreadsheets.
Yeah, fair enough. this girl wants to join forces,
and she's saying she's like, I have like 30 members, and so all of a sudden I'm like, oh fuck, we're about to go from like 60 people to 90 people,
right?
And I'm like, this is awesome, and that's a huge force. That's like a great big.
Because then you can take it, and you can. It's like having a larger army than the next guy. And
yeah,
you can
use exactly.
It for battle.
We could use it. We just send them in, and they all work together. They fight together. So like.
Right.
That'd be amazing. So I'm like, great, yeah, absolutely, come join us and everything. She's like, yeah, but I want like a bigger I want a more control and everything. And I'm like, well, I don't know.
She wants to say like a partnership or some shit.
Yeah, she wants to be the leader. And I'm like, no, that's not going to be how that works and everything. Also, you're only here by yourself. Where's your unit? She's like, oh, they couldn't come with me this time.
This is what I was getting at. So she literally was like saying that she had 30 people. Then she showed up one day.
Wait. So it gets weirder. So then she's part of the unit, mm-hmm. and she's there with like two guys. That's like who she's there with, like two guys who are also part of her group.
Right.
Then we go home. She starts talking to me, and then she's like, "Oh, here, let me introduce you to some of the people. Let me give you." This was back when we were using AIM as like our main chat.
Sure.
So she just sent us. She sent me like, "Here are some contact people that'll talk to you about some stuff." I was like, "Great." So she sent me these names. Those people start messaging me. And one thing I didn't notice is that everybody who messaged me was strangely on brand. Like, they were on message about what she wanted.
Oh, they were all on – they were basically, like, propaganda, like, spitting out what she wanted to say.
They were just saying, like, oh, yeah, you really should let her have more control. She's really smart and everything and, like, all this stuff. And then it would be this whole thing. And then she was like, listen, we want more of a say because there's so many of us. And I'm like, well, you have to bring them out. I need to.
So she was posing as these fake people?
Yes.
And then telling you that just to get in charge of your LARPing group?
She was catfishing at me as these people. And then finally we go to an event. And at this point, I'm like, she is definitely lying to us. There's no way.
She's got to be lying, yeah.
And she comes and she's like, oh, I swear to God. I was like, listen, I don't like being lied to. If you really do have this amount of people, great. Tell me. Have 50. She's like, 15 people are showing up with me this time. I'm like, great. Because we started not believing her on shit.
Yeah.
And so she shows up. She's like, they're going to be here tonight. They're going to be here tonight. And we're like, okay. And she goes, oh, no. They just called me. They had a problem with their car. They're half an hour out. But they're staying in this hotel.
So this is what I couldn't understand. Why is she continuing to try to convince you of this when you're already not believing her? Like what is the what would she win? Is there money involved?
No. It's
literally just glory.
Yeah.
God damn it! It's so dumb.
It's a lot of believe it or not, some people who do really nerdy things are painfully not self-aware.
And also, like, I understand getting into something, but like to the point of
like. Yeah, she's like, oh, they one of the cars broke down, so they're all staying there to help her work on the car.
What an elaborate story.
And
she should have just done Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
the car breaks down.
She should have been a DM.
Roll a spot check. Yeah. Well, that would involve her having to have five friends. And so we're like, we'll go pick them up. Fucking leave the car
there. At this point, you wanted to catch her on her shit. You're just like, fuck this.
It's a half an hour away. If that was true, we would be crazy not to do that. That's what we would do for any of our people.
Yeah, also dickish. Yeah.
Yeah, like that was the one thing I as a leader, my couple things were make sure that everybody is like we take everybody. I wanted everybody to be included. We would work for each other, ride and die or whatever.
Ride and die. Yeah, I thought it was ride or die.
We were orcs, so it was ride and die.
Whoa!
And so the thing is, the one thing I learned, so all of a sudden we're there, and she's just like, okay, well, no, they said don't. They're actually just going to head home. They're just going to get it fixed in the morning and head home. And I'm like,
yeah, this is, yeah.
And then we had to literally have a council at this point, and we're like, yeah, we have to kick her out.
Shit, a council.
We like brought her in front and we're like, listen.
Fellowship.
Oh, no.
We're like, you're lying to us and you're out of the unit. She's like, I'm not lying. And we're like,
deceiver.
That's literally. We kicked her out of the unit at that moment.
That's crazy to me. See, like,
she kept spreading rumors about how we were all evil after that. It was nuts.
You didn't believe her lies.
I'm not going
to
do that.
That's, you know, it's fascinating to me because it's interesting because the past, when people get into stuff, it's always cool to see like what triggers it. You know, like why I ended up doing acting and stuff like that. Like what triggers those things, but also like why I became a paramedic. We were talking about it on your show. Actually, like listen to Tinder Tales because we talk about.
Yeah.
Saving people, like how some part of it is in your nature and all that stuff. But like, it's clearly in this girl's nature to lie
and
about
she's
stuff.
Learned she can do it in LARPing. And yeah. Because you're not close enough to anyone, you can get away with it for a lot longer.
But also, it's interesting.
No.
But it's also interesting that you
found.
We would have
let her stay in the unit forever.
Yeah. I was like, why did you.
She
would have
been like, yes, she's fine. Let her in.
Yeah, well, you want to leave the unit? She would have had 30 people, too, if she was super hot.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's also like how interesting how this idea that you didn't take seriously at first, suddenly you watch like this macho thing that it allowed you to then channel that and find a way to express that some way. I think that is kind of an interesting way to look at things.
Do you play video games at all?
I used to. I play now.
Do you play
now,
like role playing games like those?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Okay.
So what was like? What kind of build did you always go for? Like, do you go for a rogue or a magic user or like?
I've
barbarian?
Never been a magic user. I've always either been a
brute force strength.
Like in Skyrim, I'll give you Skyrim. I was two handed, big fucking sword or axe that the hardest hit. I want to hit once I'm not stealth. I just run in.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay. I have the best armor and the biggest weapon and I just start swinging
shit.
So
I'm that exact same way, but I don't look like that.
Exactly. That's my point. It's like an interesting way that you don't look like Gerard Butler.
But that was where I got all that inspiration
Absolutely,
from.
Yeah.
And so I started doing like when I LARPing literally changed my life because it took me from being very insecure about all my nerdy things.
Yeah.
And turned it into a huge strength for me. I turned it into a positive. And now whenever someone talks to me, they're like, oh, you did this, you did. I was like, yeah, it was great. Like the first place
you
I got laid. Because
you can own that stuff, you know? Like, and also, I love the idea that people don't think that nerds fuck each other.
Oh, all the time. That's
you
all
know what I mean? Like, nerds not getting laid. I mean, there's other nerds that you can fuck.
Yeah.
Drama nerds in the green room.
Yeah.
Woo-wee!
I'm fascinated by and how that lingers. Like calling somebody like oh, you're into this super niche thing that only... Yeah. Three other women are into, and you'll connect and bond with them over. You know, like it's like, why wouldn't they?
You know what I think? Certain people's opinions on that was Once Upon a Time at Band Camp.
Oh yeah,
no, that, with band nerds, but that's no one made the logic. And people who love American Pie didn't make the logical leap.
Yeah.
That oh, it would transfer to like board games.
Yeah,
but like the band camp, I stuck a flute in my. It's like oh yeah, like you put a bunch of horny kids in any tight knit group,
they're gonna fuck each other.
You know,
well, that's, with LARPing, like it's that thing of like oh, I just went to the one place where being able to swing a foam sword around became impressive.
Right, and that's the thing. They're like oh yeah, look at that.
Look how good he is at that.
Wow.
I want him to bear my children.
What an interesting woman. Like,
yeah.
Because there's got to be girls out there, like, you know, that get to get wet at the sight of a good Nerf fight, you know? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the whole, well, they're not Nerf weapons. Anyway.
I'm fucking kidding.
I was doing it back.
But I mean, even if you, like, break down, like,
but I was a
oh,
leader.
Wow, that musician can really play those notes.
Yeah.
How impressive
it's
is that?
But that, it's not, it's rarely that it's music. It's
well, the image.
It's the idea of like when you're a musician, it's like the crowd,
the art.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's more of like
so if like there was a
fuck
crowd
comedians for being funny.
Yeah,
yeah. If it's there like, was a crowd for LARPing, and like there was
if
like
there was a national stage for LARPing. Yeah,
yeah.
More people would get wet about it.
Yeah. Okay, so we gotta wrap. What's your?
I can't wait to fuck Gregor the the magical or whatever.
Morgrem the crazed.
Can we have names? I want a name.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah. You got to give us names.
Okay. So the weird thing is you come up – normally you come with your own first – so in my group, we came up with our own first name.
Oh.
You pick your own first name and then in the unit as you go and you did stuff, you would get a name. You would get a second name. So
see,
like I got DeCrazed. Because literally, I would just run into these big dudes and just like.
You were berserker.
I would throw myself into these giant dudes. And like sometimes they'd bat me off. Other times, like one time, this dude was brand new. He was a giant dude. And he charged at me. But I know how to fight because I've been fighting for 3-4 years. So I went low and rolled him. And it threw him so off guard. He like threw out his knee.
Oh, no.
Shit.
Because he just tried to barrel me over, and I'm like, that's not how this works. Like, I got my shoulder in and was actually able to...
Yeah, you figured, you know, the small guy tactic against a larger opponent, you use your
momentum
and center gravity and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but I did that. So, like, I would always do those crazy things. So, like, DeCrazed.
So we pick our names, right? So, Will needs a first name. What's your first...
You know Orky-style names?
What are Orky-style names?
Like, you can be Lutgar.
Grabthar, like from Galaxy Quest.
Grabthar,
Grabthar
okay.
Hammer.
Grabthar by Grabthar's Hammer.
Grabthar by the pussy.
Grabthar by the pussy.
That's your right wing evil character.
Your alt right character, because you get to be a different person. You could be alt right orc. Grabthar by the pussy.
Alt right orc.
I'm not gonna lie, there are some alt right orcs. There are some dudes who are very pro Trump.
I would imagine there are
bunch of MRAs LARPing.
Yeah, he blocked me on Facebook now.
I wouldn't. What other what other races?
No, any race you could think of.
Okay,
because there's no. That's what I liked about my game so much. There's no bonuses. It's all what you want to.
It doesn't matter.
It's all open source.
Because my D&D character that I created is an elf, a high elf.
Yeah, you would. I see you being an elf.
Yeah,
you're very clean cut.
But he's a pirate.
Whoa, watch out.
Yeah, he's a pirate.
But he's like a good pirate.
he's like a neutral good. Yeah, like he's like a like not.
No, he does whatever the right thing is.
Yeah.
Not the law necessarily.
Not the law, whatever the right thing is. His name is the character name is Meyer.
Meyer. Okay. Well, as an elf, we'd probably just call you the Long Ears or something.
That's pirate. Yeah. But he's a pirate?
Yeah. Okay.
I want to be a pirate. That's
Long Ears is a pirate name.
Well, Long Ears is it's an elf slur.
Yeah, it's
really?
Calling him the N-word.
Yeah. Well, well, orcs are not known for their political career.
I was thinking it would be more of like an anti-Semitic thing. Where it's like, all right,
long
nose.
Yeah,
all right, long ears.
Meyer the whatever.
Oh, good at banking, are you, long ears?
That's fucked up.
But you like to hang out in trees, you fucking long ears.
I just
like to hang out in trees, right?
Yeah. See, because I love that the guy from Game of Thrones is named Ser Davos Seaworth.
I like that.
Well, yeah, because he didn't have a, yeah, I don't know. So it would all be like, we had guys, one of the guys' name was Cracked Face. Like, it was Gix Cracked Face.
Well, it's because orcs are naming shit. They're like, rock, the rock cave.
No, because his face got cracked open.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like he had to get stitches in his face.
Jesus.
So we didn't Gix Cracked Face.
So I guess I'm just Meyer Longears ethnic slur.
Yeah. Mog Bonecutter. Well, actually, because he broke his nose. A lot of times, if you fuck up a body part, you get
oh, shit. Well, he doesn't. He lost an eye. He has an eye patch.
You might be One Eye. Sometimes you get a first name. It would be like One Eye Meyer.
One Eye Meyer. I'll take it.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah, you do all sorts of weird. What was? I'm trying to think of what.
Shit! Hold on.
Face.
A second.
We stopped.
Playing. It's not recording, but it's...
Hold on. Okay.
Think.
We'll fix. I'll fix that in post.
Face breaker.
Face breaker. The face breaker.
Yeah, his name was Face Breaker, and then we were like, names are nice. We named him twice.
That's great. So,
Grawl the Abomination. Yeah, there's just all sorts of. Yeah, we it was really fun. That was that was one of my main jobs that I had to do. Is I had to make up last names for everybody.
That's
because I was a creative person.
That's good. David Piccolomini, thank you for being here. It's a great episode, and the LARPing thing is really interesting. I love 300, and Gerard Butler's are good.
Yeah,
just like a really good, interesting character.
He's also he's a guy you can keep a real he's a real good example of not
just chill the fuck out. You know, be chill.
I drink a beer with him.
I totally drink a beer with him. What would you like to promote before you go? Anything?
Okay, so my podcast, Tinder Tales.
We talked about it.
TinderTalesPod.com. Also, I run a weekly show every Tuesday at Two Boots in Williamsburg called Ambush Comedy.
Ambush, that's right.
It's in the back of a pizza shop. It's amazing. We get 25, 30 people in there, though.
Yeah, that little back room gets... It's
free beer.
It's great.
Yeah, we have a free beer from 8 to 8:30.
That's right.
And then from 8:30 to 10, we have an awesome show.
It's great, man.
Tinder
awesome.
Tales Live and Nerdy Dirty Dark. I do Thursday, August 10th. It's every second Thursday. The comedians have to open nerdy. In the middle, they have to do a really dirty joke, and they have to close with a dark joke.
Yeah.
Which is really dangerous for comedians to do, and I like
to
that.
To close dark is tough, because then you leave everybody with the well, okay, all right.
But
that's actually how I normally close.
So you guys like suicide?
What else is
exactly
different?
That's exactly it's a little safer because everybody knows it's coming.
Right.
Well, I'll close out with this. So my dad died, and everybody's like, yes, all right.
So the Jimmy Carr.
I put that in my MC set.
You know that Jimmy Carr thing about putting the worst jokes at the end?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, oh, you liked all this other shit. Let me, why you get mad at it? So he puts the worst ones at the end.
Yeah, I close with heroin a lot of times right now.
By doing heroin on stage?
By shooting heroin on stage. It's real dark.
Yeah, it's real dark.
It's not that funny, but I don't care. It's really a joke.
Where you go, in between your toes or in your dick vein?
What's
dick
the...
Vein.
Yeah.
Dick
vein.
I'm a comedian.
Oh, that'd be a good LARPing name.
Meyer Dick Vein? What is your online stuff?
Oh, at Piccolomini.
At Piccolomini. And go to all the shows, listen to Tinder Tales, and check him out. Follow him there for all of those dates and all that stuff. Will, is there anything you'd like to plug?
I'm doing, I think it's called Secret Loft.
Ooh. That's a good show.
Yeah, I've heard great things about it. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, it's not as good now that Lucas Connolly isn't running. If I say it's a great show, but then I say it's not as good, it's good. Yeah, Lucas gets real hurt about it. Anyway.
Oh, really?
He's not going to listen to this podcast, but.
Probably.
Well, you know what? He never booked me on it when he was running it.
Yeah, because he booked better lineups.
Hey!
I'm sorry, what TV credits do you have?
I have CISO.
I said TV. not web TV.
But you can so you can follow.
I was on Oddball Comedy Fest.
You should have got booked. You really need to work on your branding.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad.
What else?
I got that next Friday, and then which is the 11th, I think. Mm-hmm. Probably got some other stuff.
Yeah,
I don't
Friday
remember.
Would be the 11th.
Yeah, cool. The 11th. And then William A. Watkins.
William A. Watkins, yeah. At Mike Mercadal and everything. Also, be sure to check out geekbro.net. We're part of a podcast network called Geek Bro. And it's a lot of podcasts that incorporate a lot of nerdy stuff. There's a wrestling podcasts. There's one called called House of Heel. There's one called Shiver Pod that's about horror movies. And Moms Getting Drunk on Mamas and Merlot. That's a fun one. I've been it's great. Young moms just drinking wine.
Bunch of lactating alcoholics.
That's right. And What's Up, Bro? Is the one that I helped start back in Miami with my buddy Nary Science, who's hilarious. And you should look him up, too.
That's actually what I say every time I finish an episode of that podcast is, woof, bro.
Woo, bro.
woof, bro.
But, yeah, and then also come out to the Creek in the Cave Thursdays at 8 o'clock for Unsung Heroes. And that's all. Thank you so much, Dave, for being here.
It was
great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great time. And remember to go out and be heroic.
Yay.